If you are familiar with the show, you know exactly what that sound means. It means today we have a Pod Blast episode for you. Welcome back, everybody, to the HPE Quick Tips Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Charlie Rizzuto. In the spirit of interviewing season, today we have an episode for you specific to best practices in relation to interviewing. It is my honor to introduce to you David Gussich, Brett Fuller, and your Shape America President-elect, Judy LaBianco, who are going to share two tips each in relation to interviewing. Guys, take it away.
Besides speaking to relationships and obviously doing what's best for kids, which is first and foremost, I'd say one of the biggest things I'm looking for in an interview is that the candidate is willing and able to work towards a quality comprehensive program that includes all domains, and that there's an understanding that we're a general population program and that we are teaching to all kids, and that, you know, there are going to be kids who may love physical education and health education, and there's going to be some kids who are there because they have to be there. And being able to speak to how you're going to differentiate and meet the needs of those kids to work towards your learning outcomes or expectations is going to be a big part of that.
One of the questions that I always ask when I do interviews is a question around assessment. And I disguise the question, though, in the way that basically states many teachers and parents don't think learning occurs in physical education class. Prove to us that learning will occur in your physical education class. And two reasons I ask this question. First off, it really is an assessment question. When you're looking at proving and providing evidence that learning is occurring, what is your evidence? How are you going to demonstrate that learning occurs? And many times the teachers, when they hear this question, don't understand it's an assessment question. Then they start talking about all the things that they do in the class. But when parents and teachers, administration walk and say, and I've had said, well, nothing happens in physical education class except for rolling out a basketball or rolling out some sort of soccer ball or something like that. There's no learning that occurs. It really comes down to assessment. How are you assessing your students? How are you showing student growth? And we in physical education need to be doing this. We need to be making certain that we are assessing our students appropriately. And so have that in mind. How do you want to demonstrate that your students are actually learning skills, learning knowledge, learning lifelong skills in your classes?
One of the biggest tips I have for folks that are interviewing for a position with me in health and physical education is that I want to know that they are exuding passion and enthusiasm for their students and for their profession. You know, there's a lot of things that I'll be able to fix once a teacher gets into my schools. If they struggle with managing behavior or class management techniques, if they struggle with organizing physical space, those are things that I can help them fix. The thing I can't help them fix is their genuine passion and enthusiasm for children and their passion for the profession. So I want to be sure that when this person is sitting across from me, they really are outgoing in terms of being able to describe for me their love for kids and for me to be able to feel that on the other side of the table. That's something that can't be contrived or faked. It's something that's very natural to who they are. And I always like to feel and see that come through in a candidate.
One of the first things that I look for when I am reviewing resumes and then during an interview is, does the teacher candidate have a student-centered philosophy and experience? Your job is to make certain when you're doing your resume and your interview that you're putting forward the best opportunity for you to get that job through your experiences. You need to talk about your experiences in your resume and during the interview, but those experiences need to always come back to the students. For example, when you're doing a resume, many people will put a professional objective at the top of their resume or somewhere on the resume. And more times than not, when I look at professional objectives, they don't talk about students. They talk about the fact that they want to get a job in the profession, that they want to give to their school, but very rarely do they actually use the word students or children in their objective. So you need to make certain you have a student-centered approach on your resume. The second thing is during the interview, you need to talk about yourself in a way that expresses to the people listening to you that you are there for students. So that means when you're talking about your experiences in college, well, I did these classes in college, and this is how it's going to make me a better teacher so my students can actually do a better job. Your experiences outside of the college classwork, make certain you've got things that actually have you working with students. It'll make you that much better candidate. When you get to your teacher philosophy, look at your philosophy and make certain that it is always looking at how students are the center of everything you do. And if you do that and it's authentic, then you're going to actually make an impression on people who are interviewing you.
One of the other questions I ask my interviewees when I'm in session with them is really like a trick question. So whether the position is an elementary, middle school, or high school position, I'll ask the candidate, what do you think students should know and be able to do by the end of grade 5 or 8 or 12? And the question is really to get out of them whether or not they actually know their state and national standards. So it's not that I really want to know what they think. It's that they should be telling me pretty comfortably, you know, what it is kids should know by the end of 5, 8, and 12 because they've studied their standards. I'd say what do you think, but I really mean I want to know whether you know your standards inside and out, because that's how you plan and that's how you execute your lessons, and those are the assessments based on the standards. So that's one that candidates should not be tripping over.
One more tip I would say is practice. Make sure you read through your cover letter, read through your resume, be familiar with what's on there, because the interviewers are probably going to be speaking to that and expect you to do the same. And check out interview questions. Have somebody ask you some questions in advance. Hear yourself responding to some of the questions that may be asked of you. And utilize your resources. Check out Shape America, their website, and they have a number of great interview questions that they have listed on there. And just read through each of them. Hear yourself saying them out loud. Go through them a number of times, a few different responses. And last but not least, be prepared to respond to any questions at the end when they ask you if you have any questions. Make sure that it's not particularly about salary or logistical things that HR would be able to respond to. You're more interested about getting a job so you can work with kids and have an impact on the youth of America. And it's more about the kids than it is about you trying to land that job, which obviously is important. But so there's a couple more tips that come to mind. Good luck.
I hope all our future professionals were locked in and paying attention, and they take that advice into their next interviewing opportunity. But before we get out of here, I have one more tip for you, and that is simply this. Answer the question. Sounds simple enough, but in speaking with administrators from different districts and from different states that hold different responsibilities inside a school building, whether it be a principal or assistant principal or athletic director or some sort of supervisor, one thing that continuously comes up is the fact that candidates at times speak just for the sake of speaking. They're not really providing anything relevant to the question that was asked or anything meaningful in terms of their answer, but they feel a little uncomfortable with quiet and empty space in the conversation, so they just keep talking. So I would say that one of my biggest tips for you when you go in on your interview is be thorough with your answers, be concise. Provide as much meaningful information in relation to the question as possible, and keep talking as long as you have relevant things to say that shine some light on who you are as a candidate and what you could bring to their school district. But don't ramble. Once you've answered the question, stop. Always be thorough and concise in your answers, but don't carry on. For some interviewers, that could be a real turnoff. So we've reached the point in the show where I wrap it up. I always give those reminders that we all have great things to share, and if you would like to be featured on an episode, or if you have a topic that you would like to see featured on an episode, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You could find me on Twitter at RizzutoEd. You can email me, RizzutoEducation@gmail.com, or you could find me on Voxer, Charlie Rizzuto, username RizzutoEd. This is also the point in the show where I throw in the outro music, and I play a clip that previews the guest that is going to be featured on the next episode. However, I'm not exactly sure which episode is going to come next. So, at the end of the outro music, you're in for a real treat. My son kind of got into my podcasting equipment, and we messed around together for a little bit, and he has a nice little 30-second recording that he wanted me to play for you at the end of this episode. So, I hope you enjoy it. If not, remember, everybody, it is health that is true wealth, not pieces of gold and silver.
What? Ruby, do you like your story?